Unborn Lord Sri Krishna caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies, and thus he relieved the burden of the world. This action was like picking out a thorn with a thorn, though both are the same to the controller. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur suggests that the rishis, like Sunaka and others, who were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Srila Goswami at Namashranya, were not happy to hear that the Yadus dying in the madness of intoxication. To give them relief from this mental agony, Srila Goswami assured them that the Lord caused the members of the Yadus dynasty to relinquish their bodies, by which they had to take away the burden of the world. The Lord and his eternal associates appeared on earth to help the administrative demigods in eradicating the burden of the world. He therefore called for some of the confidential demigods to appear in the Yadu family and serve him in his great mission. After the mission was fulfilled, the demigods, by the will of the Lord, relinquished their corporeal bodies by fighting amongst themselves in the madness of intoxication. The demigods are accustomed to drinking the soma rasa beverage, and therefore the drinking of wine and intoxication are not unknown to them. Sometimes they were put into trouble for indulging intoxication. Once the sons of Kuvera fell in the wrath of Narada for being intoxicated, but afterwards they regained their original forms by the grace of the Lord Sri Krishna. We shall find this story in the 10th canto. For the Supreme Lord, both the Asuras and the demigods are equal, but the demigods are obedient to the Lord, whereas the Asuras are not. Therefore, the example of picking out a thorn by another thorn is quite befitting. One thorn which causes pinprick on the leg of the Lord is certainly disturbing to the Lord, and the other thorn which takes out the disturbing elements certainly gives service to the Lord. So although every living being is a part and parcel of the Lord, still one who is a pinprick of the Lord is called an asura, and one who is a voluntary servitor of the Lord is called a devata or demigod. In the material world, the devatas and asuras are always contending, and the devatas are always saved from the hands of the asuras by the Lord. Both of them are under the control of the Lord. The world is full of two kinds of living beings, and the Lord's mission is to always protect the devatas and destroy the asuras whenever there is such a need in the world, and to do good to both of them. End of prayer. Translation. The Supreme Unborn Lord Sri Krishna caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies, and thus he relieved the burden of the world. This action was like picking out a thorn with a thorn, though both are the same to the controller. Means, as suggested in the purport by Srila Prabhupada, that the demigods and the demons are equal in as much as they're both parts and parcels of the Lord and his eternal servants. The asuras misuse their independence, whereas the devatas, they recognize their position. That is the difference. But the asuras come to be submissive again to the Lord's program, then he is counted as devata. So it's just two camps of consciousness, and the limiting entity can choose which panty belong to, if one has the information of what's going on. But in any case, the Lord is, we see here, the Lord's program is to help the living entity. The Lord does care for the living entities, otherwise he wouldn't make an elaborate program to reform them or correct their mentality. And the universal program is that the the devatas are Lord Brahma's created from Lord Vishnu, and the devatas are created, expanded from him also. And also the demons, they're there at that time, because we can't actually trace out a beginning. But if we take it from a point of the beginning of creation, then you see, or at the beginning of the Satya Yuga, when the things begin from, we have to have a starting point. So, we hear in Satya Yuga, the process is very easy. Since everyone is Paramahamsa in Satya Yuga. I mean, everyone is obedient to the Lord. They follow the Lord's program. Process there is meditation. And they live for 100,000 years. So, although there are still demons from another time, I mean, but not the regular population. They're special people, demons. But the general populace have taken birth again in Satya Yuga. That means their simple activities have practically been eradicated. Probably by the mercy of Kalki, when he comes and kills everyone at the end of Kali Yuga. They get a chance again. So you see how the caring the Lord is, that he actually wants us back, that he doesn't let it. When it gets too bad in Kali Yuga, when there's really no intelligence, discrimination left about inclination towards spiritual life, then he just doesn't have the time to preach anymore. There's no question of preaching. There's nothing to preach to left. So then he just comes and kills. Finish. Okay, the show's over, and he does it personally. That's Kalki. And then I guess that was their simple active. They're because they're killed by the avatar, they get rid of all that simple reactions. Then they get a fresh chance again. So you see how kind the Lord is. Then it's very easy. Satya Yuga. You live 100,000 years in Satya Yuga. But as the as the inclination or tendency comes in, as it prone to it, that will actually start to misuse our independence by the influence of the material energy, even though it's sattvic situation there. So that tendency is there, because that's why she came into the material world, to take on the position of the Lord. But in that purified consciousness, or in that pure consciousness, in that mode of goodness at least, then we understand we're submissive to the Lord's program. We understand, we respect that he is the Supreme Lord. So it's not so bad, but as it degrades, then it gets worse and worse and worse. As more we deviate from the spiritual path, so we get more and more trouble. This is Krishna's program. If you want to deviate, so he's showing us here by these histories, Puranas, we see what happens, what the course of history is. And it gets worse and worse and worse, and more the people deviate from the orders of the Lord of his religious instructions. See, in Satya Yuga, old age and disease, they're not known practically. Big problem now. In Satya Yuga, it's not there. Then here, death, in Satya Yuga, it's 100,000 years. Here, it's only 100 years. So in Kali Yuga, you experience death 1,000 times to one. In Satya Yuga, you experience one time. In Kali Yuga, you have to go through death 1,000 times, like that. Plus all the old age and disease that go along with it. In Satya Yuga, that's not there. So it's relatively very simple in Satya Yuga. It's very nice. So it's not, God's not cruel. But there's a price to pay. There is a price. You've got to be serious about it. He's not going to do everything. You know, some people say, why did he create? Why does he allow so much suffering? Why doesn't God just, you know, if he wants us to come back, why doesn't he just, you know, just give us complete remembrance and everything in the, to go back? No, that's not the program. Yeah, we the criminals, there's some rectification. We must voluntarily give up that mentality, not by force. We must voluntarily give it up. And voluntary become favorable to the Lord's program. Then it's called devotional service. So it must be voluntary. It's not out of that's purity. That's civil, you know, highly civilized life. It can still be in the category of duty at that time, that you're actually following the instructions of the Lord. Then over and above that, then Krishna advises you give up the duty also. Whatever you're doing, you do it for me instead of a sense of duty. Out of a sense of duty, you do it for me. So there's a higher principle there. But of course, one can't do that unless one has actual affection for the Lord. One has some understanding of the Lord. Because the Lord, he's actually all attractive. So when we actually appreciate how wonderful the Lord is, then we can, it's easier, much easier to give up these duties. Because yeah? Duties are generally there for our own benefit, to protect us. We follow duty out of fear of not following duty. If we don't follow it, there'll be a bad reaction. So it's still that selfish concept is there. So Krishna advises, you give that up also. Huh? But first you have to accept the higher principle. You can't do it just on intelligence. You could do it. But we're doing that, more or less, in the sadhana bhakti practice. Although we may not have any realization of taste, understanding of Krishna, you know, I mean real personal understanding. Still, we're accepting Krishna as the all in all. We're accepting on faith, and we're following. So we're doing that. So this is the organic path is that you become purified. Then you serve Krishna. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. But there's in Kali Yuga there's no time for that. So you get directly service to the Lord without purification. That's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. No time for the other purification of dharma. So that's our position, that we're with faith, we're voluntarily trying to serve the Lord. But there's no real taste, there's no real affection at the moment. Is there? It's developed. So therefore, it's quite difficult to do, to maintain all the time, because you know we have affection for Maya. We have taste for Maya, we've experienced. So just to give that up, to give that taste up, when that happens on faith, that we'll get something better, that takes some little determination and very strong faith to be able to do it. That's our position in the sadhana stage. That's what we're doing. And nothing else you can do in Kali Yuga anyway. If you want to actually, if you want to make a solution to the problem. But we see it's actually the Lord's kindness on us. He does think of us. He doesn't let us get too far away. So it's mentioned here that for the Lord, you know, he sees this whole, you know, everyone's in this pot together, this, you know, this material universe. All the living, all the rebellious living entities are here. Because some are, to manage the place, and some of the rebellious living entities, they take on the position of managers. Just like in the prison, some prisons, they have the good prisoners, the obedient prisoners, and they get some facility, and they get some position in the prison. They're like, you know, like they become wards. They look after the other prisoners and take them, they get them to the service here and there. They're still in the prison, but they, because of the obedience, you know, they decide it's better to follow the authority than to rebel against it. So they're given some facility, but they're still prisoners. So like that, and then they get out, they get, because of their good ideal prisoners, then they get some sentence reduced. Huh? Good behavior, they call it. You get your sentence reduced for good behavior. So you don't have to serve your full time if you actually start to reform, and they see you're actually sincere about reforming, because that's what the prison is for. Usually it doesn't do that, the prison. Usually people in the prison, they become more bitter with the authority. But if someone's a little intelligent, you can understand, yeah, you know, this is a law you've got to follow, and let's be submissive, then they see there's actual change of heart. That rarely happens. But that's, see, that's what's supposed to happen in the material world. We're supposed to have this change of heart. So therefore it must be done voluntary, that change of heart. It can't be forced. But Krishna can't force us. He could do, but it wouldn't be so good, you see. He could show us his form right now if he wanted to, and he could show the whole world. He could just shake the whole world. A hairy ball, you know. And then you've got to accept that's Krishna, but then you still have that enjoying spirit. You haven't given that up. So you'll be still, the envy of Krishna will still be there, because you want to take that position, but you can't. And you know he's got the position. So you'll worship him out of, you know, because you have to, because you know you just have to do it, because there's no doubt about it. But still, the condition of the heart may not change. But that's actually what's wanted. If you actually want to go back to the Golok, then that position has to be attained. So the demigods, they're administrating like that, you know, they're devotees, they're submissive to the Lord. But the demons, they don't. Although they follow instructions, they're not inimical towards the instructions of the Lord. They'll follow. Otherwise, how they become powerful? They'll follow the instructions, but they miss the point. Demigods also miss the point. The point is actually to go back, you know, to get out of the place altogether. But with that, by following, you get so much facility. By being that, by good behavior, you get so much facility. That means you can move around in the higher planets. Around, very nice situation, and some planets are very sensuous. There you're worshiping the Lord, but there's somewhat sense gratification also, which is what you actually came for, which is a pretty good deal. Okay, you can't be God, but you're still enjoying like anything, and there's no problems, right? In Swarga. So they also miss the point, or they get stuck on that. Even if they know, they still may get stuck on that. That, you know, the sense gratification is too great. To say no to. And they deserve it. They perform pious activities. But anyway, they generally, everyone misses the point, except for the pure devotees. For the jnanis and the yogis, you got those higher planets. Of course, they're a little different when you get higher up there. Generally, they do go back to God eventually. But still, they're enjoying facility on the way. They sit a loka. Yanloka, Tapaloka, they get finer and finer bodies, and they enjoy finer and finer situations. So they're going back, but they're actually enjoying on the way. They're gradually moving back. They're purposely going like this. They're going through these different phases, the different subtle bodies, and they're enjoying the facility of all those on the way back. Mahatapa, until they get Satyaloka. Then they get to Brahmaloka, then it's really fine. And then they generally go back to Godhead with Lord Brahma at the end of the time. So for unlimited amount of time, they enjoy quite a bit. Whereas a pure devotee is not interested in anything like that. So just see how exalted the pure devotees are. They'll give up all that unlimited sense, fine sense gratification. But it's not easy to do unless one actually has a higher taste, unless one actually can experience the spiritual atmosphere, and specifically the Lord, the personal form of the Lord, or his pastimes, etc. That's even, you know, there's even more taste there than in just, you know, experiencing the spiritual atmosphere. That's the variety, it's the spice of life. So within that spiritual atmosphere, there's so much variety. That's Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam. It's ever increasing. It's coming over in waves of ecstasy. It's not constant. So that's a much more exalted stage. So if one actually achieves that position, then naturally they're not interested in anything else. So that is the exclusive position of the devotees of the Lord, which the Lord is awarding very easily, and that's what he wants in the first place. But because we're not very willing to accept, you know, follow 100%, then you've got the whole cosmic manifestation to move around into, you know, and enjoy so many varieties, so much variety of tastes and things which are going on. But so everyone misses a point, more or less. But those who are actually faithful to the Lord's program, at least, that's the bottom line, then they're classed as devas, or innocent. Not, they're devas. Anyone who is not anti, they're called devas. Even if one is submissive, as long as one is not inimical to the Lord, as devotees, they're considered on the good side, good category. If you look at it as good and bad, good means to serve the Lord. So, but the demons, they generally, when they get the potency by executing the will of the Lord, then their tendency is to misuse it. It's like the demon who worshipped Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva gave him a benediction, and he asked for the benediction that whoever head I touched would crack to 100 pieces, 1,000 pieces. And Lord Shiva gave him, and then he thought he'd go and get Lord Shiva. So as soon as he had that power, then so they don't respect the etiquette. They don't follow the etiquette. They follow the procedure to get potency, the demons. They follow the religion, but they don't follow the etiquette, how to behave when you have that. So of course then Shiva had to run, even Lord Shiva had to run from this person, because he did have that potency. Lord Shiva empowered him with that potency. But then Lord Krishna tricked him. Krishna appeared as just an ordinary person in front of him. Where are you going? I'm looking for that Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, he hangs around in the graveyard, he wears puts ashes on his body, wears skulls, he's an amateur, he's a half man. You don't take him seriously. You don't believe that. If you touch your head, you're gonna break it. Come on, you don't believe that, do you? If you try it, you'll see, it won't work. Oh really? Krishna bewildered him. The saving. But that's generally the position of the demons. As soon as, like Hiranyakashipu was saying, as soon as they get the power, then they misuse it. Then they want to exhibit that controlling Ishvara Bhava that we have. Now we can control. So they start to harass the devotees, because the demigods are in control. So there's always that, they're always going on, they're created by Lord Brahma, the demonic species are created in the beginning. I like that, because Krishna knows that those two poles are going to be there, that the living entity is going to sway from one to another. Of course the big demigods are different. So he gives, that's a facility, so there's so much variety that Krishna has given, so much opportunity in the material world. Whole cosmic manifestation. Because he knows we have that tendency, but he doesn't let it get too far out. So he's very conscious of the living entities that, you know, that he actually wants them to come back. He doesn't want them to actually suffer. But you have to be willing to. There must be some price of rectification. You can't feel, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Let's go back. It doesn't work like that. You don't see it happen here in the material world. Unless, you know, you can get direct darshan of the Lord. That's a little different than the others. You come into contact, you're pleased with your devotee somehow or other. So that is, you have to pay a price. You're in prison. You don't expect it to be easy. And so the price is submissive. But when they're not submissive, so when the demons become powerful, then they upset the demigods. So it tells us this is a pinprick. When the pinprick, it's certainly a disturbance for the Lord, because the devatas, because they're acting on his behalf, they're considered limbs of the Lord. So the demigods are, they're my limbs, parts and parcels. So if the asuras manage things, then there won't be much chance of the living entity to become free from samsara. Because their goal, like Hiranyakashipu says, it was just enjoying. He made it such a place that it was just enjoyment, you know, just, you know, there was no problems. It was really nice. And you didn't have to perform any pious activities to achieve it. To enjoy that. You could just enjoy it. Such was his power, his control over the demigods. But of course, that's not the Lord's program. He wants us to rectify and go back. So, and he's given the way to do it. And the demigods, they are administering that power to go back. So when the demons become too powerful, they want to take over the demigods' position, but they don't have. They want manage it in such a way as to, progressively give people an opportunity to go back. So you can see on every count, the Lord is actually very thoughtful for his parts and parcels, us living entities who are in this material world, and he's arranged all facility. So the more we neglect that, then the more we suffer. That's how it is. So therefore we read all these different pranas and then we become a little broad-minded, we get a bigger picture of what's actually going on. We think it's difficult now. You would think you know what it's going to be like in another 400,000 years from now. We'll be running around this big, spawning children just to eat. No food. You think hot weather now, a couple of weeks of that hot weather we had is huge droughts, flood, everything there. So it's because people are in pious. So this is a reaction. But like I say, it doesn't really get too bad. At that time, then there's no chance. Okay, then there's no point anymore in continuing. So then he closes the whole thing down. Kali closes the whole thing up. Start again. Sati Yuga. Start again. Another chance. So you see, he's very kind. He's given us opportunity all the time. You won't let us go too far. So, you know, that is the kindness of the Lord. So he's equal to everyone. The demons also get the same opportunity. Krishna says, as you surrender unto me, then I'll reciprocate accordingly. So it's not just for the, it's not just, anyone can do it. Anyone has an opportunity. It's not just for the demigods, but if someone, devas, but if someone does it, then they're called devas. That's the understanding. So, what we can do, what we have to do, is to show our willingness to do what the Lord wants us to do, to follow. That's how we can express our gratitude or our sincerity, isn't it? Is by what you actually do, what you're going to actually do about it. It's not just not just words. Of course, if you don't have the ability to do anything, but it generally is expressed how you, what you'll do, how you act, how you'll behave. What is your mentality? That's the work. That's what we have to. We can do that. You know, we can endeavor to act in that way. And that means giving up all of those activities which are not conducive to the Lord's program. That's work. But there's a price. You're in there, you're stuck in it. If you want to get out, there's a price to pay. You have to reform. Yeah? Reform your activities, reform your mind, reform your speech, all of these things. Accept what's favorable for Krishna and reject what's unfavorable. Yeah? And the less we do that, then the more trouble we find out. So this is evidenced by the history. The more you do it, you may think, oh, it's easier or nicer, I think it's quicker to enjoy, but in the long run you'll just bring in more suffering, just prolonging our stay in the material world. So one day you've got to do it. One day you have to become completely submissive to the Lord's power, if you want to get out. Otherwise you can stay in eternally. What was it? He was arguing with one priest about the concept of eternal damnation in the Christian philosophy. They have if you don't accept Jesus, then you're eternally damned. You only get one time because they don't believe in reincarnation. If you're good, you go to heaven. If you follow the Lord or the Lord's son, whoever that particular one is, then you'll go to heaven. If you don't, then you go to hell. That's it. But there's no middle thing. So there you go to hell eternally. So Prabhupada was saying, no, God is not so cruel. He wouldn't do such a thing. But this priest was like pushing the point. The Prabhupada said, well, if you're determined to stay in the material world, then what can you do? If you're determined to stay in, then what can anyone do? So it is an individual choice. So we got to purify our consciousness so we understand what's actually, you know, what is in our real interest, what is in our best interest, and that's to surrender to Krishna. Today or tomorrow we have to do it. Right? So why not do it today? This is the opportunity which is available by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. This actually wasn't available before. It wasn't so easy. In one lifetime. It wasn't so easy. But even in the middle of all this terrible atmosphere so far, the worst atmosphere has been so far, until the next Kali Yuga, it gets worse all the time, right? It must be getting worse all the time. Of course, there's the golden period in Kali Yuga. That we simply have to endeavor to do that. To please the devotee of the Lord is a bottom line in our philosophy. To serve the devotee of the Lord and satisfy them. So that's all one has to do. It's not that one has to become, you know, super advanced, has to have, you know, attain the stage of bhava or anything. No. If you see Prabhupada is to accept him as a pure devotee, he's very dear to Lord Krishna. And he was so pleased with some devotees. He's watching the devotees going on the street and he was crying because it was raining and the Sankirtan devotees were going out. So how pleased he was with those devotees. And I personally heard him glorifying the devotees in Los Angeles so much. Like anything, he was glorifying to the life of some guest. Like him. I mean, really speaking from the heart. Good policy. I mean, they weren't on bhava or prema. They were making incense and they were, you know, driving truckloads of books and packing up in the warehouse and printing and going out and distributing. I was so pleased. So then Krishna's pleased. Please. So that is there's a secret. It's the pleasure of the devotee. We can't please Krishna. We don't know Krishna until the other. On the Bhagavad Gita platform. You can't directly contact Krishna. But through his devotee, then that is the That is the bottom line in our philosophy. So that's easily available. The devotees are, very compassionate, and they know how conditional nature. So a little service. Yeah. A little service is sincerely trying to render the devotees. That's it. It'll be your last lifetime. That's what it means. It's not an ambitious statement. It's just that you have to be sincere and follow. You have to be sincere if you want to get out of the material world. So even if you're not thoroughly purified, you can't remember Krishna at the time of death. He'll remember you. Other devotee will remember you. So it's not that you have to do everything yourself, depending on Krishna. You can't guarantee anything, but that is the thing. If you please a devotee, Krishna is pleased, Krishna is seeing. Even though you can't remember Krishna, he will remember you. But it just requires sincerity and enacting intelligence. So that opportunity is there for us, and we have to keep on hearing why we should surrender. Okay? Surrender means giving up something, right? And giving up your nonsense ideas that you can enjoy separately from Krishna. That's what surrender is. And accepting a better proposal. It's for our interest, it's given. It's in our own interest. It's actually a better way of life. It's a better standard of happiness, which is actually what we want. That spiritual happiness is much higher than any sense gratification that we've tasted. It's much, much finer, much happier. So he's given us a better lifestyle, better theology, a better way of living, a better idea in life. Everything's better. It's just that we're conditioned because we're born in some hole in the ground. We think this is the best way of life, a good way of life. But Krishna, he knows better. He says, actually, this is better. What you want is happiness. It's better happiness, take it. Of course, you may not taste it in the very beginning. That is faith. So there's a test of faith there. How long will you follow? That's a test of faith. When will Krishna reveal to you what he's promised? When will he reveal that? That's a question. That's a test of faith. But there's no other alternative except mine. I'm in prison. You have no choice. We came here, we're stuck. But anyway, let's accept that we've got Prabhupada is mentioned on every page. And Krishna also surrendered to me. Krishna, Prabhupada is saying the same thing. Surrendered to him, and all the stories there, the devotees that did surrender to him, they went back. They're not here anymore. They don't have any problems. Even the higher or the lower plan, so the problem is solved. So we'll take that to heart. Try to become sincere followers of the pure path of devotional service. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Jehovah Ki Jai. Any question, comment? Yes, ma'am. Preaching now. Preaching now.
Should the emphasis be on presenting now as something very tasty that one can, or by one chance, get so much pleasure? Or should the emphasis be on convincing people that without chanting the Nam, without chanting the Krishna, there's no chance of their salvation? Salvation means that there's no chance to save them.
Should we preach the higher taste is if you chant Hare Krishna you'll get such a nice taste. Or that the Naam is the only way. Yeah. Oh, you both. You say both. They're both good. must have that. There must be an attractive side in there. So if you're preaching that if you chant Hare Krishna is the only means of deliverance, then it would just be a duty. It'd be like it's something you have to do. The living entity is lazy, generally. They don't like to do it. So it'd just be like a chore, to chant 16 rounds or whatever. So it'd be like troublesome. But you have to do it, otherwise there's no other way to do it. Like you have to go to work to be able to get some money to live. There's no other way to get the money. So if you don't like to work, you do it. You go out in all kinds of situations to work to get money because you need that money. So it's the same thing. You don't like the work. So it'd be like that. But you have to tell them both sides of it, the positive side also, that the holy name is not different from Krishna. So when we chant that purely, then we can feel Krishna's presence, we can feel the highest bliss, which everyone wants. So then you'll be chanting in a, at least sometimes I do, in a hope that in the next round that taste will come. In the next Hare Krishna the taste will come. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, is it this one? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Waiting for it like that. So there's both things, the attraction and the repulsion, the pushing must be there. But the pushing is more realistic in this world because we know we're suffering. Most thing is that people want to get out of the suffering before you can enjoy, so that actually becomes, before the enjoyment is a removal of suffering. So this is generally what people work on. Just like we do now, we're still concerned about, getting rid of the anathas and someone's giving class the other day. We're more accent is on that than actually, just becoming absorbed in service or absorbed in the name. We're using it as a tool, which is we're using the process, which is actually the goal when we become pure. But we're using it as a tool. So that's actually not as good as understanding that this is the actual goal, what we're doing. But because we're suffering, because the idea is we get rid of this suffering, we get rid of our problems by chanting, by performing service, then we're doing it. And then we'll actually be able to experience the bliss in the chanting and the bliss in the service itself, because it's not different from Krishna. So they both have to be stressed. It's better. Both are there. Bhagavatam is mostly the other side. Bhagavatam is mostly the pushing side, the suffering side. 10th canto, others are mostly, how people were suffering and they tried to overcome, that's most of it. Because that's what we're like. We want to actually enjoy this material world. So the stories are there to tell us that, we can't do it. Nobody makes it. Not for long. They can't be successful. So that's what all the stories are about, how people trying to be successful without Krishna. And they failed unless they surrendered to Krishna. They're the success stories in Bhagavatam. So mostly it's like that. Most of the 9 cantos are like that. Then 10th canto is just nectar, you're going to Vrindavan. Because that's our tendency. The thing is, we're not... Right now, because we don't have any taste, there's not much interest in serving Krishna. Because we don't realize what a taste there is and such a wonderful thing it is. We want to enjoy, but there's so much suffering. So we want to get rid of that suffering so we can enjoy. So this is real, right? This is, just like we get accused. Why are you telling people to chant Hare Krishna? Why don't you feed them? This is real. People are suffering out there and you're telling them to chant Hare. This is real. This is what the philanthropists think. But they actually make a solution. So we say do both at once. You feed them, then you give them spiritual knowledge. If you just feed them, what's the use? Doesn't solve the problem. So we both together. And then, so I say, oh, God, please.